Philippians chapter 3. I'm using the NIV, but I've also brought the Amplified out because there's a few more verses in the Amplified that may stretch us a little bit more. How many know sometimes we need to be stretched? And we don't like it. At least I don't. I have a hard time sometimes. Okay. Chapter 3. In the NIV, it has a little bit of a heading, and it says, "No confidence in the flesh." Finally, my brothers, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus and who put no confidence in the flesh. Now you see, if you read that and you say, well, you mean we throw our flesh away? No. But what you learn in the natural is far less powerful than what you learn by the Holy Spirit. Though I myself have reason for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reason to put confidence in his flesh, I have more. Circumcision on the eighth day, that's what happened to him. Of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law of Pharisees, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. Why? Because he was so disciplined under the carnal nature and the religious spirit of Israel at that time. He was holy in his own sight. He didn't really need any more revelation. Verse 7. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss. You see what happened to him? For the sake of Christ, or for the sake of the anointing. Because if you look at the Amplified on verse 7, it says, whatever former things I had that might have been gained to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. Huh?
For Christ's sake.
Yeah, for the anointing's sake. Okay? Because the word Christ and anointing are synonymous. What is more, I consider everything lost compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing is also a relationship, intercourse. If you want a confirming voice, check out Ephesians 5. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, which was where he lived, the commandments, but that which is through faith in Christ. So how did he get his righteousness? Through faith. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. It is received when you choose to receive it. I'm going to give you a little bit of an experience that happened this past 2 weeks. There's a young man that's been working at the Y, and kind of handsome kid. And I've, waved to him a couple times because he's kind of the overseer. You know, he helps people when they don't know how to run the machines and so on and so forth. And about a week and a half ago, I noticed he was limping and he had crutches. I says, well, what happened to you? Of course, I teased him. His name is Danny. And I said, Danny, what happened to you? Did you misbehave or something? And he says, oh, no, no. He says, I went to play a game with my friends. I'm on a lacrosse team. And I fell and I did something to my knee. There was nothing else said. So 2 days later, I happened to see him again. And this time he's hobbling along and he's got a crutch on one side, got rid of the other crutch, and now he's going to put a little bit of weight on his leg. Oh, he says, I've done this before. I've had surgery before. And I'm sure that that's what's going to happen again. This is this and this and this. And I said, well, have you? Because he was being punished. He was in a corner room and sitting down doing phone calls because that's all he could do, right? He says, I'm in jail. I said, well, being in jail is a good thing sometimes. I says, you're at least you're getting paid for being in jail. And he laughed. I said, but have you considered praying for this thing? Oh, no, he says. I said, well, would you like to pray about your knee? Because he's got the knee brace and the whole nine things, you know. Oh, yeah, sure. I said, well, put your hands on your knee. So he put both hands, and I put my hands on top, and we prayed. Well, the doctor, blah, 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 this and this. And so today, I show up, and he's walking around with no brace, with no crutch. I says, hey, Dan, you're looking good. Oh, he says, I'm feeling a lot better. I can walk now. He says, I can't really turn it, you know, in every direction because the freedom isn't there. And I said, well, when are you finally getting your report? Because he's, of course, very fearful of another level of surgery. Oh, he says, I'm hoping and I'm hoping, but I want to walk with you. So off we went. And of course, remember, he said, they'll be thrown in my lap. So I'm hearing that word going over, and we're walking around the circle, and he's telling me about hope. And I said, well, you know, hope is wonderful, but I says, you know, it's not good enough for you. I says, you need to be a believer. I do? I says, yeah, you need to believe. And I says, you know, by faith and believing, I said, I believe that you're going to get a good report. Because he says they did a scan and he's going to get the report on Friday. So I said, why don't you believe that we're going to have a nice miracle and you won't have to have surgery. Just maybe a little therapy and stuff to get you back on your feet. Oh, he says, I'm going to go party. I said, well, you're a kid. What else do kids do? He says, you really think it would be okay for me to have a good time? I says, of course, it's wonderful to have a good time. Nothing wrong with that. So, you see what God did? All of a sudden, one of his friends comes over, and they're talking, and I keep on walking. Now, he did three times around the circle with me. And I'm hearing him tell the kid, you know, I'm a believer now.
Right now.
I'm a believer now. Yeah, it's better than faith. In hope you never get. And I explained to him. Oh, he says, this is so cool. It's okay. Let's go back now. The righteousness that comes from God and is by faith is of him, and it's superior. I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. And so, somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I'm going to switch you over to the Amplified. Okay? We're going to go to verse 10. For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in the same way come to know the power overflowing from his resurrection, which it exerts over believers, and that I may so share his suffering as to be continually transformed. Notice it's progressive. In spirit into his likeness, to his death, and in hope that if possible I might attain to the spiritual and moral resurrection. I would say the word spiritual and moral doesn't belong there. Because he is really trying to take us to the next level of our walk with him. And so if you take those two words out, you go back to verse 11, that if possible I may attain to the resurrection that lifts me out from among the dead, even while in the body. That's awesome. Okay, so he's telling you there is a place in God that it won't matter. Your
going to be filled with authority and power from God to be able to do what Jesus did. And that's pretty intense. Mm-hmm.
Amen? So let's go back now. Verse 12. Not that I have already obtained all this, in the NIV, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So who started all this?
Is it you or God? Yeah. How many got flipped over like a pancake when he came into your life? Yeah. Now, some people look at you and me and they say, my God, they've lost their marbles. Praise God, I didn't want them to begin with. Because they were old and they didn't do too well. But the Holy Ghost marbles are much better. Because they're perfect. They're oiled. They're like ball bearings. They don't wear out. Okay?
What am I saying all this for? Because the Holy Ghost is doing a work in his people, and there's so much more that's going to be happening because that's part of the word he keeps giving us. 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. So stop looking at your past. That's what he means. His blood has washed your past already clean.
Close your eyes for a moment. Say, my past, including all the mistakes I made,
including all the sin involved,
is covered by his blood. And I'm going to stop worrying about what I did. And taking all kinds of guilt, which shuts down my ability to receive his mercy, or his grace, or his victories, and even my healing. Because when I'm loaded with guilt and self-condemnation, nothing good can happen to me. Because I'm full of guilt. But Jesus already took care of it. On the cross. That's the power of the cross. And the power of his resurrection is I'm coming out of this old stuff.
I'm all done looking backwards. I'm straining to go forward. And I press towards the goal. To win the prize. Which God has called. Me, heavenward, in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah.